You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Zoe Clark, in today for Lester Graham. We now know that Michigan State University has reached a possible settlement with more than 300 victims of sexual assault. The lawsuit stems from the actions of former MSU sports doctor Larry Nassar. Nassar sexually assaulted young women for years under the guise of treatment. The proposed settlement would give $425 million to the current victims, and it sets aside $75 million for victims who might come forward in the future. Interim president of Michigan State University, John Engler, joins me now. So this $500 million, is that enough money for what these women went through, in your opinion?
Well, there's never enough money. What these women went through was horrifying. And this was a period starting all the way back in 1997 when the Olympic doctor arrived, and there was great fanfare at the Michigan State campus at the time, I guess, that we've been able to get this doctor from the Olympics, and here he is. And this abuse went on over a period of years until 2016, when it was explained in graphic detail what he was doing. He was suspended that day, never treated another patient. But over all those years, he hurt a lot of girls. He hurt a lot of young women. And no, there's no amount of money that makes this go away. I've seen some of the parents and the families, and there's tremendous pain that's been caused to these families. And, you know, 175 of the moms were in the rooms with Dr. Nassar when he was treating these girls and assaulting them at the same time. So there's nothing that makes up for that monetarily. The monetary settlement is a result of the lawyers on behalf of the survivors and Michigan State University sitting down and working out through mediation a settlement that I think is equitable and fair and allows Michigan State now, given the changes that we've made in our healthcare system, the changes in the clinical practices, I think we can assure everyone that never again could this happen in a clinic at Michigan State University with the protections that have been built in.
And I want to get to that. I wonder, what was it like then to, you know, have these hundreds of women, right, who have been assaulted, knowing their stories, but then also having to argue over millions of dollars and have to be in the position of sort of putting the university first against what these women went through? What was that like?
Our goal from the beginning was to make sure that we were fair to everyone. The university has apologized repeatedly. The university is embarrassed that this man could have been on the faculty osteopathic college, gone undiscovered for so many years. And I wasn't at the mediation that we let the lawyers for the university talk to the lawyers for the survivors. But I think both sides went into this recognizing that there had to be a settlement, that there had to be something. And I think one of our motivations clearly was not to put these survivors and their families through years and years of litigation and trials. And, you know, who knows when that would wrap up. And that would just be too much, I think, to inflict on them. It would be certainly too much, I think, for the university community. It's never, university communities aren't, I think, very comfortable with litigation in the first place. And we have students who don't even realize it is actually an adversarial process. And lots of things were said. But, you know, the good thing about this, when it's wrapped up, you have the lawyer for the plaintiffs who was very public and very outspoken. He's signing a document, and the lawyer for the university is signing the same document. They're shaking hands, and they're saying, all right, let's move on.
Where will this money come from?
It'll come from the university. We'll have to clearly look at our budget. We started that process this morning. We have insurance, and we expect our insurance companies to honor the contracts that they've entered into with the university. So that should be a part of it. We'll have a full announcement. We're not prepared. Yesterday I was being pressed, you know, repeatedly. So where's it coming from? And then they say, well, it can't come from tuition. It can't come from university fees. It can't come from endowment. It can't come from here or there. Where's it going to come from? And I kept saying, look, the one thing I can assure everyone is that the one place it won't come from, we've guaranteed the incoming freshman class, our largest class in Michigan State history, and our most diverse, by the way, that there's no increase in their tuition. This was a pledge that was made last year, actually. We're going to honor that pledge. So for that incoming freshman, it won't be tuition. But we're going to look at everything. Obviously, there's an ability to bond for this, you know, but those have to be paid back over time. We have some reserves that we can use. So you're going to put together, and that's my job now as president, to give to the Board of Trustees a plan that says this is how we fund this and this is what the finances of the university look like.
You were at the Capitol yesterday, most folks assuming, you know, that you were meeting to talk about state money, to, you know, some are saying taxpayer money to be part of this. What were those conversations like with lawmakers?
Oh, actually, that wasn't why I was there, but we did certainly say we want our budget passed, but the higher education budget's making good progress, and I think the legislature's getting close.
So the issue of state money didn't come up in any conversations yesterday?
No, we were really briefing legislative leaders, and we're continuing that process. We're today talking to Representative Sam Singh, who's the local legislator, also happens to be the House Democratic leader. We want everybody to know what the agreement was, what's in the settlement, what are the conditions and that both sides have agreed to. So it was that. It was not about down at the Capitol with our handout. We're saying, you know, the budget process has treated Michigan State fairly. I think Governor Snyder's budget for all universities is a fair budget. Now, they've announced they got a little more surplus. We'd be happy to have more of that go to higher education. And if it does, Michigan State like its fair share. But that was not what we were doing. We were really briefing leaders on the settlement that had been reached between the survivors and the university.
Okay, because it seemed like a lot of lawmakers were talking about that, though. Here's Republican Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard, and what he had to say about the idea of using state money.
I don't know how a university with a larger rainy day fund than what we have could ask us to chip in, especially when they created the problem.
And here's Republican Senator Rick Jones.
I would tell John Engler, you're no longer governor, John. Go find your money from MSU, not from us, not from the taxpayers.
Anything you want to say to Senator Jones there about whether there will be an ask?
Well, no, I just answered that question. I thought I said we weren't there to talk about money. We didn't make any ask.
Okay. But will there be one?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, other than, as I said, you know, pass the appropriation bills. And those are Michigan State's budgets there, along with the University of Michigan and every other one of the 15 four-year universities in the state. So, no, I mean, look, you know, they can it's a bit unfair even to ask the legislators where Michigan State's money to pay that settlement's going to come from because they don't know. They're not looking at our budget. I'm doing that, and I'll share it with the legislators. I'll share it with the press when we've got the details worked out and when I can take it to the Board of Trustees and get their approval.
Okay. So the monetary settlement issue right now seemingly settled, at least between, you know, the survivors and Michigan State University. What is next in terms of the institution, right, and how you're handling what seems like this sort of systemic problem? There's already been folks who have left. What's next?
Well, one thing it's not done on the litigation side. What the agreement doesn't cover is our lawsuits against the United States Olympic Committee or USA Gymnastics. So there's some of that, but Michigan State won't be involved. This was a mm-hmm. global settlement from mm-hmm. the Michigan State standpoint.
Yeah.
As far as now coming back to campus, while there's been all of this focus on this litigation, and that's really the 3 months that I've been here now, that's almost dominated the coverage. What about the lawsuits, the trials, the litigation, the testimony? Well, at the same time, we've been working very hard. As you mentioned earlier, you want to get back to this whole question of patient care and safety. If somebody comes to an MSU clinic, how do you assure that this could never happen again? Well, there have been all kinds of new procedures and safeguards put in place, new protocols, and ways in which we can determine that the protocols are being adhered to. So it's not just to have something on the books but not be followed. We'll now know if it's being followed or not. Nassar didn't bill for more than half the people he saw. Part of that was to hide the fact that he was performing the kind of treatments he was performing. That kind of a thing has been fixed. We've also then focused on what can we do on campus to enhance protection to guard against sexual misconduct or sexual assault. And there's an array of steps already taken. And we've got summer camps starting now across the university in engineering and the humanities, at sports, I mean, all of these places, new safeguards there that were updated and I think considerably strengthened. We're actually even trying to build on some of the work that First Lady Sue Snyder has done and see what we can push back even into the high school. So that's the prevention side. If prevention fails, then how do you respond? And dramatic increases in support for mental health services And those are not just for victims of sexual assault or sexual misconduct. There's been a growing demand for mental health services on campus, which is actually one of the things I've said has surprised me coming back here. But then if there is a sexual misconduct, sexual assault claim, how do we have a better way to handle that claim? How do we comfort the person who's filing the claim, have a person to help guide them through the process, increased numbers of investigators to do the investigation, enhance cooperation between the police on campus and
It is a laundry list of things that you're working on. And I guess my question about it is not that, you know, this isn't all happening. How do you know when systematically things are going to start working again at MSU? How do you make sure that goals for all of this culture change and shifting is working? How will you know?
There are a lot of different ways that we're going to look at this. I think much of it is already working, and it will get better. And the thing that I've talked about is my confidence that the university is going to emerge much stronger. And this is not just student to student. It is faculty member to student, faculty member to grad student to faculty. It's staff or, you know, all of these different relationships that are here. And at the university, when you're dealing with students, you've got all kinds of federal privacy protections that are built in. That's been one of the things that's been hard for, I think, the university throughout this process. Much of what we know, we can't talk about because it's protected by federal law.
I want to read you something that Daniel Howes, columnist at the Detroit News, but writing for Michigan Radio, actually wrote. He says, "Interim President John Engler says the aftermath of the whole mess," he's referring to Nassar, "offers MSU a chance to be a laboratory for developing processes to ensure someone like Nassar can never again operate unmolested within a university. He is absolutely right in theory. In practice, though," he writes, "it's hard to see how the necessarily self-critical exercise could flourish in the MSU's butt-covering culture, starting with its trustees. How they're still occupying their respective seats is a marvel."
Well, look, I think, you know, trust takes a long time to build, but here's the deal. You've got to have the right policies, the right procedures, the right protocols in place. You've got to have the ability then to monitor those to make sure they're being adhered to. And that reassures people. It is the performance. It's not all the rhetoric. There's been a lot of rhetoric, you know, around a lot of issues, but I've always been kind of a bottom line person, and if it's working better, we're going to be able to see that, and the confidence will grow, and that will create even greater trust. You want a respectful environment on a campus where people, this largest incoming class that I've mentioned, it's also the most diverse in Michigan State history. Double-digit increases in Hispanic, African-American students. So here comes a class to the university. Lots of people, very different backgrounds, different experiences. We've got to have a civil discourse, respectful treatment. This is a learning and teaching community that does world-class research. You want people to come here and to flourish and be prepared to succeed. That's what Spartans do. And this university, because of what we've done, we're going to be far ahead of a lot of others out there who are, you know, kind of crossing their fingers and hoping, boy, I hope this never hits our campus. And
sure.
I'm not talking about a Nassar. He's such a one-off. But I am talking about the way in which young women, people of who are different, feel, you know, level of comfort and security on a campus, and we're going to be a model.
And that's what I'm trying, I think, to understand about this idea of this quote-unquote butt-covering culture is how can you have Board of Trustees who, you know, at certain points were saying, oh, this Nassar thing, you know, oh, these girls. I mean, how do you create a respectful, comfortable place for students when you have a Board of Trustees who, you know, say things like that to students?
The Board of Trustees has approved the settlement. The Board of Trustees has apologized. And, you know, everybody learns from everything that's happened before. You know, now, I'm not one to spend a lot of time back in the past. When I got to campus, Larry Nassar was in prison for 175 years. And what happened and who did what and who said what or didn't do what, you know, that's important. And we've still got some investigations that have to wrap up.
So the Board of Trustees has your support?
They have my support. That's not important. I have their support because they hired me. So I'm here the next thing that they have to do, which I think is very important, is to begin the process to find a new president. I'm an interim president. I'm not going to be here forever and not very long, hopefully.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about that. Do you have a sense of how long you plan to remain interim president?
Not a day longer than I have to. We have to find a new president. I think that process now can get started. I always felt that was going to be hard to get underway until we were able to arrive at a settlement and be able to make some of the changes we've been talking about. Now that we're well on our way there, the board has indicated to the faculty and the staff here they're going to hire an experienced outside kind of advisor, somebody to come in and help. I mean, they recognize that these relationships have really suffered over the last 2-3 years. And so they're going to bring somebody in with them to help listen, help develop that criteria for the search, help get that process underway. And everybody recognizes the process is really important. We need people to buy in. This campus is so diverse, there's no possibility. There will not be a unanimous choice for president. I mean, just everybody's got different viewpoints.
Wouldn't it be best if there was, though, if these folks could all come together and decide as a university that there was one person that they could all agree on?
I don't know if that saint has come down from the heavens to be walking on this earth. We have probably people in engineering and business who think that somebody from the humanities wouldn't be a good choice. I would guess we might have people in the social sciences or in education who think an engineering choice would be a disaster. I think that to suggest that there's some possibility of unanimity, but I think there can be unanimity around the process. I think there can be confidence in the process that says, you know, this is the way in which we can vet candidates and bring someone forward.
Governor, interim president, how are you going to remember this time that you've spent at MSU?
Well, we'll look back when it's all done. And, I came here because I love the university. I care about it and knew that there was a crisis. I mean, and we're beginning to get some of these issues resolved. Look, the victims of Larry Nassar, these survivors, 31 of them were actually MSU students. You know, many others weren't very familiar with our campus, but now their memory of Michigan State, because they weren't students here, but their memory is Larry Nassar. We want to make sure that for our students and for those who know about Michigan State, that they view this as a university that went through a painful period, and because of the people who were hurt by this doctor, the university changed a lot of things. It became a place of civility and of respect that honored people regardless of differences, and you could get a world-class education and be a Spartan who joins our 500,000 alums out there and be very proud of where you were educated and what you're able to do in the world.
Interim President of Michigan State University, John Engler, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you very much.